leaders from the Southern Baptist Convention released a third-party report this May detailing a history of sexual abuse allegations and cover-ups within the religious organization. The investigation comes after reporting 3 years ago of more than 700 cases of sexual abuse from about 400 people connected to the Southern Baptist Convention. Top leaders from the convention are said to have mishandled the cases that they knew about for as much as 20 years before the reporting came out. Former president of the SBC, Ed Litton, spoke about the report in an interview with ABC News.
Well, the rumors were always out there that these things were happening. There were several attempts made at our convention meetings to bring this to light, but they were very successfully pushed down, and this report was long overdue. Southern Baptist asked for this, demanded this.
We want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. What has surprised you if you've been following this investigation? What do you think organizations, religious or not, should do to change in the future after something like this? Why do you think this type of story is so common for large institutions? Are you a member of the Southern Baptist Convention? If so, what do you think about this story and what should come next? Call 800-642, that's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Marcy Hamilton is the founder and CEO of Child USA, a nonprofit think tank dedicated to preventing child abuse and neglect. She's also a professor of practice in political science at the University of Pennsylvania. Marcy, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, some of these cases we found out about went unaddressed by the Southern Baptist Convention for as many as 20 years, despite leaders knowing about them. What kind of cover-ups did we learn about in this report that kept these cases from coming out?
Well, the Southern Baptists were much like other organized religions, whether it's Catholic or Jehovah's Witnesses, in which they preferred the adults in power. And there's a great phrase in the report that says the problem is casual indifference to child sex abuse. We see this across religions. We see this across universities. It's a nationwide problem, but it was just as rampant in the Southern Baptists as anywhere else.
The Southern Baptist Convention has at least 13 million members nationwide. A few of those, three to be exact, names from that report were tied to Wisconsin. However, here in Wisconsin, the Catholic Church is much more prominent. Obviously, a similar story in the Catholic Church. What kind of parallels were you seeing between the two organizations?
It's interesting because they're organized so differently. One's hierarchical, one's more of a flat system, but the truth is identical behaviors in that children would be sexually abused. They would try to reach out in whatever way they could, and they were either ignored or they were just treated as though they needed to get over it. And it's identical in the way that the Catholic hierarchy and the Baptist pastors have been approaching this. They've been far more interested in telling kids to forgive and forget abuse than to getting them the help they need and to bringing the abusers to justice.
I think in both instances, we've heard about religion itself, religious thinking, lessons, dogma being used as a tool for abusers, especially for young people. Can you talk a little bit more about how that can make this problem worse?
Well, you know, one of the ways that religious organizations operate, and this is in the report, is that they can treat the men as superior and the children and the women as inferior. And so the men's concerns about being incarcerated or being ashamed in public because they're abusers take precedence. And then the children are told to just please be quiet and go away. That's what happened in the Baptist Church. And at the same time, theologically, they completely torqued the meaning of confession and forgiveness, just as the Catholic Church has done in Wisconsin, in which they have said that church autonomy, the protection of church from all outside law and social obligations, means they can't be held accountable. And that's a distortion of, first of all, the Bible's text, but also that's a way of talking that keeps the powerful in place. They're not responsible to the larger public good and keeps them much more worried about their image and protecting their income than about the victims.
Have there been similar ways that the Catholic Church and the Southern Baptist Convention have used legal mechanisms to slow down investigations or avoid accountability?
Absolutely. Both denominations and many others argue vehemently that the courts cannot get documents from their records that will show the abuse. Both organizations are lobbying against access to justice for the victims and really are counting on the courts creating no open opportunities for the victims. So, this is something I've said for a very long time about the Catholic bishops, and it's equally true for the SBC, is that so long as you're lobbying against your own victims in state legislatures and arguing they shouldn't get access to justice, you're going to have a problem. They can't solve their problem unless the victims have access to justice.
We're talking right now with Marcy Hamilton, founder and CEO of Child USA, a nonprofit think tank dedicated to preventing child abuse and neglect. We're talking about a recent report that found a pattern of sexual abuse and cover-up within the Southern Baptist Convention. And Marcy, you mentioned providing access to legal representation, a pathway to justice for survivors. What are some of the practical things that can change to provide that for people?
Well, the most important, and we've been working on Wisconsin for years, is a very tough state to crack on this particular issue. What's needed is that the victims from the past whose claims have already expired have the opportunity to have them revived. We've had roughly half of the states revive expired statutes of limitations for child sex abuse victims in some way. And what we've had in Wisconsin is, first we had Archbishop Dolan, now Cardinal Dolan of New York, actively lobbying, in fact, publicly testifying against the victims in the state legislature. And now we have the Southern Baptists who are publicly stating that they will not support, in fact, they will argue against the victims having access to justice. So what that means is that victims don't have the leverage that they need in court to get the records. The big losers when you don't give victims access to justice are the public. We will never learn the full extent, the facts, the way in which our children have been endangered unless there's full accountability and full release of the information. We really just need the truth. And what many of the religious organizations and universities and others are doing right now is they're saying to lawmakers, we'll clean our own dirty laundry, we've got it. The problem is we know what happens when you let a private institution clean their own dirty laundry, they just put it away. And I don't care what the report says about the fact they're going to do better in the future, which they darn well better, or they're going to be in a lot of trouble. They're not going out of their way to make the record straight on exactly how nefarious and disastrous their policies were.
And you mentioned reviving cases that might have expired because of the statute of limitations. What does bringing something, a case back after that statute has passed, what does that involve? Does it require a change in law? Is it a case-by-case basis?
We need a change in law. And there have been bills, including this year, introduced that would enact the window that meant that we learned about 1,150 victims in California in 2003, the very first major window. New York had 11,000 victims come forward. We know about drama teachers. We know about coaches that we never would have learned about but for opening these windows. And so if parents want to know, or need to know, if their children are safe and where they are safe, that's what these laws do. Gives them the information and tells them the questions to ask because they'll learn about all the mistakes that have been made in the past. But right now, it's many of our religious leaders that are standing in the way of parents getting that truth.
We're talking with Marcy Hamilton, founder and CEO of Child USA and a professor of practice in political science at the University of Pennsylvania. She's talking with us about the roughly 700 sexual assault cases and accusations that have come out in recent reporting regarding the Southern Baptist Convention. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you believe convention leaders should have done when they heard about these assaults? What do you think should happen next for organizations like this? If revelations of abuse in the Catholic Church have affected you, what does this new report from the Baptist Convention have you thinking about? What questions do you have about the legal options in cases like this? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. The conversation continues coming up on Central Time. Right now, we're picking up the conversation with Marcy Hamilton, founder and CEO of Child USA, a group focused on preventing child abuse. She's talking with us about a report detailing widespread sexual assault within the Southern Baptist Convention and what might come next. We're also taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What does this story have you thinking about? What questions do you have about the legal options in cases like this? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Marcy, I want to talk a little bit more about what leaders in the SBC knew about abuse that was happening in their organization. As you mentioned, it's a little less hierarchical of a group than the Catholic Church is, but it seems like there was still a lot of knowledge, even when leaders were speaking out about abuse in the Catholic Church. Can you talk about that?
Well, first of all, we don't fully know exactly what they knew because we haven't had the kind of litigation that would tell us the full story. But for as a matter of fact, Baptists started coming forward saying they had been abused not long after the 2002 Spotlight Report in the Boston Globe. And so this story has been out there. They've been aware of it, but they've been consistently arguing that because of their organizational structure, they'll never have the same top-down problems. The issue, though, is that pastors move from church to church, and the ones that are abusing children, when they leave the one church, perhaps because of some problems and knowledge, the next church, they abuse another child. And so what they knew is they had problems. They knew they had youth ministers with problems, and they did not take them to the authorities, and they did not remove them from the faith. Instead, the victims watched them be forgiven and protected while the victims were essentially told, thanks for telling us, but that's pretty much it.
Last month, the SBC held a meeting of members where they passed a few new policy issues. They elected a new president, Bart Barber, created a database of, or approved creating a database of abuse claims and abusers, and signed off on creating a group to study changes within the church. What do you think about what came out of that meeting?
Well, I thought it was a good step forward. The prevention policies they laid out, there are some good ones. You've got to have two adults whenever anyone's with children. That's a good rule in sports and everywhere else. You have to have open doors when children are present. Another great rule, no one-on-one transportation. You can't let the adult take the kid alone in a car. Screening, those are good. But a lot of this didn't include the larger systemically needed changes. So there's no talk about having a code of conduct that every employee and volunteer must review and sign regularly. There's no protection for whistleblowers. And that's something that's critically important. People should be able to come forward about their concerns about a child being sexually abused without being shut out or isolated because they've come forward. There's some specific proposals that I don't see there. For example, teenage volunteers should not be supervising young children without adult supervision. So there's a fair amount that they're stepping forward, but they have quite a far way to go to have a really high level child protective system. And what I would say to the parents in the SBC right now is it's an environment that is not yet going to curb the acts of sexual abuse by those intending to have sex with children. They're just not there. They're not going to be there overnight. And so parents, you know, I'm sorry, I'm having to say this repeatedly all over the country, you have to be hypervigilant now, because the instinct to protect the institution, that's really hard to change in the rank and file. You may have some on the top saying that, but I've seen various quotes and statements out in the press at the lower levels, and it's going to take a long time to educate the entire entire set of believers that you have to take this seriously. You have to go to the authorities if you have a report, and you have to put the healing of the child first and foremost. Hard to do when the institution's been doing the opposite so long.
We're talking with Marcy Hamilton, founder of Child USA, talking about abuse within the Southern Baptist Convention. We're also taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Let's go to the calls now. We have Dave in Stevens Point. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
What'd you want to bring up?
Well, I think she just hit it, and that was the main thing. And it's not just churches. It's the Boy Scouts. It's any other large organization, maybe not even large organizations, but it's the instinct of leaders of all of these institutions to protect the institution instead of the people that they're supposed to be serving. And until we can get past that with the leadership in churches and any other institution, we're going to continue to have this problem. So that's pretty much what I have to say.
Dave, thanks for the call. Marcy, what do you think?
Absolutely. And what's heartening is when the general public steps up and sees that and knows it and says it. So that's a great comment and really important.
And we do see, as Dave mentioned, not just religious organizations, athletic organizations, the Boy Scouts, any sort of big group can be subject to this this kind of problem. And I'm wondering if you, Marcy, have seen organizations that have reformed for the better, where things are really working.
Well, there's a lot left to do in the United States. And so we actually studied all of the 32 United States archdioceses because they were the most sued. So you would expect they would have made the most changes. And what we found out as a matter of scientific fact is that the policies are all over the place and none of them are complete. So children are at risk in the Catholic Church, despite knowing about this cover-up since 2002. That's 20 years. So no, there is no perfect institution yet. We're really wrestling with changing the system, which means changing people's minds, that you really do put everything down when a child indicates they've been sexually abused, and you immediately go to the authorities and you immediately hold people to account. And, you know, for the rank and file, for the believer in the pews, it's intimidating to tell your pastor. And if a pastor says, that guy's one of our most valued members of our whole congregation, you get the message. This is about the organization and you better shut up. And the child then doesn't get that sense of, wow, the institution's here for me, and also doesn't get the sense of justice. It's amazing what happens if you take a child who has been sexually abused to the authorities and show them that what was done to them was a crime, was wrong, and it wasn't their fault. That can be healing, and so far the SBC has a terrible record on that. We'll see how far down they go in both implementing that and enforcing it. In fact, my biggest question here, it's not just that they set out some new policies, but how are they going to enforce them?
We just have about a minute left, Marcy, but I wanted to ask, in addition to abusers themselves, is it possible to have consequences for those at the top who might have known and ignored a problem?
Absolutely. There's criminal behavior by those at the top of every organization in the country, frankly, that has had these massive cover-ups. So whether we're talking about the Olympic system or we're talking about universities or schools or the churches, there's liability and there should have been criminal charges against those in power. But the problem is prosecutors are political beings, and it's pretty intimidating and difficult to charge the bishop that everybody loves, the pastor that everybody adores, and expect to get reelected. So that's why our view at Child USA is we must educate everyone. The public needs to understand this, so they'll just absolutely demand that kind of accountability.
We'll leave it there. Marcy, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Marcy Hamilton, founder and CEO of Child USA, a nonprofit think tank devoted to preventing child abuse and neglect. We've been talking about a recent reporting that revealed a pattern of sexual abuse and cover-up within the Southern Baptist Convention and how the group is responding. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, the National Hotline for Sexual Assault is 800-656-HOPE. That's 800-656-HOPE. The Wisconsin Department of Justice is also actively investigating clergy abuse. Their number, 877-222-2620. We also have their online reporting form linked at wpr.org/centraltime.